Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 41. Commencez en trois, deux, un.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast.
Learn jazz piano without all the guesswork.
Now, your host, Brendan Lowe.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 41. I'm your host, Brendan Lowe. Thank you so much for joining me today. I am very excited. All the branding imagery is going to be starting to be released this week. So for the social media platforms that I am on, Twitter, do you like how I enunciated that? Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, where you can find the lick of the day, which I post as a free lick. We hosting series of pianists. Mulgrew Miller is currently on this week, but I've done Herbie, Chick, McCoy so far, and I'm going to continue to post these licks, these videos that you can learn from and study the repertoire, the language of the great pianists. And so that's on the social media networks, my networks that I do, so I highly encourage you to sign up for one of those. They're posted on all of them, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And so if you are part of that, thank you. And you'll be starting to see the new branding that is coming out for Jazz Piano School. And that's really exciting. And so the next step is doing all of the website imagery and pages and design. And so lots of good things. It's just, I just have, you know, loads and loads of work, but it's so much fun. And it's just amazing, you know, when you take something that you're passionate about, and you know, every day feels just, I feel so inspired. You know, before I was working in the fitness industry, I don't know if many of you guys knew that, probably I've mentioned it in my podcast before, but I was working 60 hours a week, you know, and you know, it was basically sales, and I had no life, and I couldn't do music, and it was just terrible. But I don't know how many of you have a job that you dislike or you don't like going to, but you know, think about it. Think about what you're passionate about, and I highly encourage you to just really reflect on what you want to do in life, because you can absolutely do anything. And you know, the more you are negative about yourself and what you're doing and your situation, the worse it's going to feel. But if you can start to believe, have a little hope that you can get out of your situation and do what you're passionate about, then it's definitely possible. You know, anything is possible if you put your mind to it. So I love motivation. One of the things I'm going to get into after, you know, I've created a stable platform for Jazz Piano School that can kind of sustain itself for a little bit, you know, on autopilot, basically, so people can access the content and get all the video lessons. But I really want to go into some sort of motivation with music and teaching people how to create, you know, a passionate business or something, you know, that they want to achieve through their you know, interests in life. So it's just really inspiring to me. I watch a lot of motivational videos, and I really want to help people kind of escape, you know, the daily grind or just whatever they're, you know, feeling down about, and just let them know that you can do whatever you want. If music is your passion, you can do music. If real estate's your passion, you can do real estate. If you don't, you know, if you want to work with in the health and fitness or be a social worker, you can do that as well. So if you're in a job or you're in a situation that you know, currently just can't stand, and you know, you drive to work every day and you're just miserable, just I'm just here to tell you that anything is possible. Okay, so I went off on a little inspired rant there, but I'm just feeling pumped right now. I'm feeling super happy to deliver this information to you guys, and I just love doing this. So that will be another another business venture after Jazz Piano School. I'm going to kind of infuse them, actually, because, you know, Jazz Piano School is a business, right? So I've been creating this business, and I want to teach people how to create a business that they're passionate about. And, you know, for my entire life, I've been trying to create businesses, and I love business. So I love the concepts behind business, behind growing something to help people. And if you think about it, really great businesses always help. They always contribute back to society. They're always giving. They're always improving the lifestyle of people and just really, really enriching their lifestyle. If crappy businesses take, they take away. You know, they're going to take your money. They're going to take your soul. They're going to take your spirits. You know, they don't give back. And usually when that happens, they fail. So any sort of business that is focused on giving and really cares about the customer and giving to other people, they're always going to succeed. And if you have a passion that's helping people, you know, learn how to fish or get healthy or, you know, or do music, you know, it's possible to develop a lifestyle around that that's going to allow you to make money and contribute to society. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. You know, a lot of times, sometimes people have hear the word business and they think of like schemy scam artists, and I don't blame them because there's a lot of people out there like that these days. So, but it is absolutely possible to develop the lifestyle that you want, and I will definitely, you know, get into that later on. But all right, so enough of my talk. Look for the imagery. If you want to sign up at jazzpianoschool.com, you can do so. You can create your own account for completely free. And I'm going to be upgrading all these videos and actually adding practice videos into the free account. So that's going to be kind of cool. And continuing to contribute to that, if you're looking for more of a in-depth learning process, more of a step-by-step process, then those courses are going to be released to the public later this year, and you can get signed up for those. The free account is going to be more of a general archive if you're looking for things, and then my online store will be coming shortly this year too, kind of a la carte. If you're looking for specific voicings or styles, you'll be able to just, buy those and learn about them if you don't want to go through the entire course and kind of pay that monthly fee. So anyway, let's get into this. In today's lesson, I'm going to be going over rhythmic motifs and rhythms. So rhythms are extremely important. They're extremely important. I'd argue that they're more important than melodies almost, because in jazz, rhythm is what makes that, you know, it creates the feeling of the swing. Okay, and that's that feeling we all love. We love that feeling of swing and just the time and certain rhythmic phrases. And I mean, in combination with melodic phrases, it's just, that's the 1-2 combo. You know what I mean? So if you can get both of these things happening, in the previous episodes, I've talked about more melodic type stuff. But again, I want to really focus on what you can do with rhythms and how to make rhythms sound, you know, great. And how to kind of approach adding more rhythmic stuff into your playing, because a lot of times with my students, they're playing and they're playing great stuff, but they don't have a lot of rhythmic variation. They don't have a lot of rhythmic contrast, and that's going to lead towards a lot of blandness, right, in your improv. So you might be listening. Well, actually, on a side note, I always recommend you record your playing and then listen back, because it's hard to really kind of be assess your playing when you're in the moment. So if you have a recording of yourself and you can listen back, then that's going to be extremely helpful. And you might hear that you don't have much rhythmic variation. You're playing all eighth notes. There's not much space. Maybe you just have quarter notes. You know, maybe you're just not doing much, okay? So what I'm going to do today is show you how we can start to incorporate rhythmic variation. And we want to focus on specific rhythmic components to add into our right hand. And we're going to start with the easiest thing possible. So I'm going to start with actually whole notes and half notes. Okay, it's going to be very bland, but actually as simple as it sounds, right, usually simple things that sound easy are more difficult than you think. So I'm going to start with a tune called Mr. PC. It's going to be a minor blues. I'm going to use my track here, and I'm just going to play whole notes and half notes and see if I can create, just a nice improv through using whole notes and half notes. But the difference in my practice right now is that I'm thinking, you know, my mind is focused on whole notes and half notes. All it's focused on is rhythms, nothing else. I'm not really thinking about notes at all, just rhythms. And this is how we need to focus our practice on these specific components in order to improve our playing. And Art Tatum has a really great quote that says, you know, don't be mistaken. You need to practice improvisation in order to get better at. So this is like a specific example of how I'm going to practice my improv through rhythmic components. Okay, so here we go. Let's see what this level is like. Wow, that's really fast. Okay, I'm going to turn this down just a little bit just so we can get kind of a nice tempo here. Here we go. sorry. So I said sorry because I added a different rhythm in there. But that was, oh no, there we go. Sorry, my MIDI was my MIDI camera was screwing up. That was an example of all half notes and whole notes. And it didn't sound bad, right? It sounded pretty cool. Now what we can do is we can shorten our half notes and whole notes. You know, instead of holding them, what I'm doing is, you know, I'm holding the duration so it equals two beats. But instead of thinking about that, let's think about the placement now. So I only want to place a note on beat one or beat three of the measure, okay? And this is going to be similar to half notes and whole notes, but I'm going to make them short. I'm still thinking beats one and three, which is where, obviously you can place a half note on beat two, but we're not going to get to that just yet. I'm just going to do beats one and three. All right, here we go. Let's try it again. I'm going to make them short this time. That's great, right? It doesn't even sound that bad. I mean, obviously there's not much going on, but if you can do that, like that's creating such a good foundation for you. You know, just you want to be able to start from the ground up, you know, because this is how you're really going to help yourself learn how to improvise effectively, okay? So I'm gonna switch to, I'm gonna up the rhythmic durations a little bit now. So I'm gonna switch to quarter notes and half notes now. So I can play quarter notes, and I can play half notes, and I can play whole notes. So I'm adding one rhythmic component into my playing. Okay, so let's see how that sounds. So I have whole notes, half notes, and quarter notes. Here we go. So I was kind of using the long and short. I should have focused just on long for you guys now because you want to work on both. So that is adding chord notes in. Obviously, you can hear a little bit of variety now. Okay, right? So let me do it one more time. I'll take the first chorus doing legato. Okay, so tying everything together. The second chorus, I'm going to do more short type of accents on all the half notes, quarter notes, and whole notes. Okay, so the first one's going to be long legato. Second one is going to be short. Here we go. Okay, so that started sounding pretty cool, right? So I was focusing on legato, quarter notes, half notes, and whole notes, and basically not staccato, but just kind of short, accentuated quarter notes, half notes, and whole notes. So now I don't want to add too many components in, so I'm going to take out my half notes and whole notes. Actually, no, I'm going to leave those in there, but I want to focus on quarter notes and eighth notes now. So I'm gonna add in the eighth notes components. So one, two, da 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 da. And actually, I don't recommend doing it on the tempo that I'm doing yet. So I'm gonna slow this down a little bit. That way we can really focus. So I'm gonna put it down to 130 and we can really focus on the quarter notes and eighth notes just alone, basically for the entire chorus. So here we go. This will be legato. And I'll still have my half notes and whole notes in there to sit on if I need some space. Okay, here we go. So that was basically legato. I added my eighth notes in. Now, to get specific, we can start to combine the different components, like just whole notes and just eighth notes. Okay, and this will really help you focus in on adding certain rhythms and styles, or not styles rather, but rhythmic components into your playing. So I'll show you eighth notes and just whole notes. Here we go. Whoops. Start this from the beginning here. So you get the picture. So we start combining these different things. Now, a lot of the times people are good with just that. And that's, if you hear the sound that I'm producing from those rhythms and notes, you might be like, wow, that kind of sounds like my playing actually, right? So, and that's what people's level is, what they get to is whole notes, half notes, quarter notes, and eighth notes. But then there's no other rhythms or space or variation of your rhythmic placement that's going to help you add contrast into your solo. So if you recognize that playing, so what you want to do is add these next couple components. So the next couple components we want to add are triplets. Triplets are amazing in jazz. Triplet, 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 right? And so adding this triplet component mixed in with quarters and eighth notes is such a great texture. Okay, so I'm going to do that right now. Quarters, eighth notes, and triplets. Here we go. Actually, you know what? Sorry, I changed my mind. I'm just going to use triplets because you want to focus on each rhythmic texture alone first. Before you start to combine them, I'm just going to do triplets this time. Okay, here we go. So I started to push myself a little bit, get out of my comfort zone, right? I made a couple mistakes, but that's what you want to do when you're practicing. That's why it's called practice, right? Push yourself out of the box. I was trying to use different forms of triplets. You don't always have to use three notes in the triplet, right? You can start on the second beat of the triplet. So triplet, triplet, pullet, pullet, right? So you can start on pullet. You can start your triplet on let. So you can start, right? Triplet, so. Let triple it, right? Let triple it, but dot dot dot. So start your triplet on different beats of the triplet. Okay, you don't always have to start on one. Like that's how I begin my solo: triple it, right? But then after a little while, I was kind of trying to place them differently and string them together in longer motifs, right? So triplets are great. Now I'm gonna add eighth notes and triplets, so you can hear the variation. It's gonna be such a huge contrast in your playing. And when you add some rest in there and some space, it sounds great. So here's eighth notes and triplets. All right. Thank you. So I wasn't adding much space there, right? Sometimes I would recommend practicing with no space at all, no rests, and then trying to integrate rests in. Okay, so I just took triplets and eighth notes, probably no rest. I did add some rest in there, but now I'm really going to focus on eighth notes and triplets and adding space in between my figures instead of combining everything at once. All right, here we go. Whoops. I'm going to start this over here. 2, 3, 4. Said that because I added a quarter note in, right? So that's why it's such good focus. Like even for me, I need to really, really focus on just doing triplets and eighth notes without quarter notes. And I'm adding some space in there, adding some rest, and play around. Like you're gonna create lots of motivic development through your rhythmic ideas. You can use, you know, because you're focusing on the rhythm so much, you're gonna create and building and development in your solo, okay? So I'm gonna add quarter notes in and rest. So I'm giving myself many more options now. And this obviously gets more difficult. So that's why you wanna limit your options in the beginning and practice on it, then start to expand your options as you get better. All right, here we go. Quarter notes, eighth notes, and triplets. Was a mistake. I was supposed to be doing all quarters, right? Eighths and triplets. All right. So the next step, once you get your triplets down, that's a really big component. I see most beginners stop at eighth notes. They're not adding many triplet note figures in. All right. And then if you are adding triplet note fingers in, it's all triplets. So ba da 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 da. It's not integrated into eighth notes. Ba da ba da bi ba do bi ba da do da do 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 do. You know, it's not integrated into everything. It doesn't balance well. So the next step we want to do is try quarter note triplets. All right. So quarter note triplets are really tough to get. So if you have your quarter note, right? Bop, 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 bop. Now, this is a really tough rhythmic figure. I could do actually a whole podcast on quarter note triplets, but hopefully, maybe I'll do a blog post on it. Hopefully, you know what quarter note triplets are. And again, it's hard to describe over a podcast because you need to see where they line up. But there's going to be three beats, three triplet beats to every two quarter notes. Okay, so 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. So my right hand is beating three times. My left hand's beating two. Lots of coordination, right? It's like tapping your head and rubbing your belly. So I'm gonna just focus on quarter note triplets now over the entire chorus. Here we go. Thank you. So obviously that gets a little boring, but you want to practice that until you're comfortable doing it. All right. Now I'll do triplets and quarter note triplets. All right. So you add one rhythmic component onto the one you've just been practicing. So you don't expand your options too quickly. Here we go. Triplets and quarter note triplets. That's kind of a fun sound, actually. It's been a while since I've heard that, but I could play around with that a lot. So that's a fun sound. Then we add one more. We stack one more component that we practiced in the past, right? So that would be our eighth notes. We're just going backwards. So quarter note triplets, triplets, eighth notes. Here we go. That's a fun sound too, okay? So I'm sure you're starting to get the hang of this now. So you wanna focus your practice on rhythmic components and incorporating these rhythmic components. And one of the things that I get often is like, okay, Brendan, well, I can't, you know, I don't even know what notes to play. You know what I'm saying? I don't even know what notes to play to work on these rhythms. And that's fine, I completely understand that. But that's why you wanna take one scale or a grouping of notes you know really well. Let's say it's the blues scale. Okay, you don't necessarily have to practice over a blues. You can just practice over one chord. So if you know your blues scale well, just practice over a C7 chord with your blues scale. So, right? Those are the only notes you would use. And obviously, I understand. Like, you need to actually practice melodically something so you can have it under your fingers to be able to practice these rhythms. So I do recommend. That's why I started melodically and then moved to rhythmically. Okay, but if you don't have anything melodically down cold under your fingers, then it's going to be really tough. Or one mode. You know, we talked about modes a lot. So you could practice your major scale. You could use over a C major 7 chord. You could play any note from your major scale. And I mean, that's easy enough. I know anyone out there can do that. And that's why I've always, what episode? We're on episode 41. Since episode like 2, I've told people that the major scales will always, always, always be involved in jazz. And if you don't know your major scales, like the back of your hand, okay, you're not going to be able to, you'll be able to play the music, but there's going to be major, major holes, okay? Your roof might fall apart. Or your 2x4 that's holding your roof is going to collapse. So you can take your major scale and do the same thing. Eighth notes, right? Triplets, right? Note triplets and do the same exercise that I'm working on. So I just wanted to put it in perspective because a lot of people say, well, I don't know what notes to play. I can't make it sound good. We're just focusing on rhythms right now. The last rhythm before I let you guys go is 16th notes. I hardly hear people add 16th notes, and I know 16th notes are difficult because they're going by so fast, but if you put the metronome, I'm going to put the metronome down to 70. Listen to where your 16th note is. 1, 2E and a 3E and a 4E and a. Sorry. Right? So you can put the metronome wherever you want. It doesn't need to be a blazing fast. You can even put it slower than 70 and work on your 16th notes. But the purpose is to work on them because you want to integrate them into your playing. So I'm going to leave the metronome here at this tempo because it's going to be super, super slow. And I'm going to work on my 16th notes now in my quarter note triplets. All right, here we go. I'm just gonna use, maybe I'll just use the blues scale. All right, here we go. So I was rushing a little bit there because I was used to the tempo I was just playing at. But so that's then we start adding our 16th, and then we just keep going backwards. So what we did quarter note triplets, then we do triplets, then we add the triplets in, we add the eighth notes in, we add the quarter notes in, we add the half notes in, then we add the whole notes in, and then we add our rest in, and then boom. Right, we have a complete rhythmic incorporated solo using space and all these great rhythmic concepts at a balanced proportion, so you're hearing all these different rhythmic concepts, and that's what gives that fun feeling in jazz, is these rhythms, you know. And a lot of the great, it's really great to kind of think about a drummer as yourself as a drummer, and like how a drummer would play a solo on like the snare, and try and do that. You know how a bebop drummer might solo on a snare, something like that. So here's, I'll give you a little, I'm gonna try and really focus on all the rhythms in my solo right now. I'm gonna up the tempo just a little bit. And I'm gonna try and incorporate all the rhythms we just talked about into my solo. And you can hear how great the contrast sounds. That was all the rhythms included, and I kind of got away from myself at the end there, but that was using all the rhythms included, quarter notes, half notes, whole notes, and you could hear the huge variance in textures, right? I was playing a lot of notes, okay, but again, I wasn't concerned about that. I was trying to really focus on all my rhythmic textures. Then, obviously, you want to pull back a little bit, add some space, and make it pretty. You know, after your practice, still be thinking about the rhythms, but make it pretty. So I'm going to try and make it tasty now instead of just a hodgepodge of all these rhythms. Okay, here we go. That was pulled back and it was like swinging. You know, after you start working on all your rhythmic components, then you just want to focus on the swing. You want to focus on that feeling. And I was really enjoying, you know, playing around with the different rhythms, but adding that space in there. It's really the space in between the rhythms that's going to up the value and increase the contrast to make your solo just sound great. All right? Whew, that was an awesome episode. I really enjoyed that, playing with those rhythms. So try practicing rhythms for a week. You know, try working on just your triplets for one whole week. You can work on it 5 minutes a day. Just play triplets over a blues. Work on your quarter note triplets. Work on your 16th notes for a week. Whatever it is that you feel like you're lagging, work on that just for a week, you know, and try not to. A lot of the times in jazz piano, and as I'm doing more education, jazz piano is so scattered. You know, it's so unorganized. It's just like, there's so many things, like I want to learn voicings, I want to learn how to improv, I want to learn bass lines, I want to learn textures, I want to learn two-hand voicings, I want to learn extensions. It's just like, oh my goodness, you know, you like just pick one thing and work on it and you're going to get better. You know, if you're trying to work, if you're, it's like reading 10 books at a time. Do you ever remember? I do this, actually. Are you going to remember the books? I barely remember the books I read, but I've noticed that when I read one book at a time, you know, it incorporates into me better than if I'm reading all these different things. So just work on one component for a week or two and then move on. And you're going to increase your progress so much more when by doing this, instead of, you know, looking at, you know, one, you know, this concept and then going to this concept, and it just becomes way too overwhelming. And then eventually people are just like, ah, I can't do this. Well, obviously, because focus on one thing, let yourself get better, let yourself grow at one thing, and then pick another thing to grow at. All right. So that's it, guys. That was a little bit longer than I intended, but that's okay. Thank you so much for listening. I appreciate it. If you listen this far in the podcast, again, I've been talking about links to the website to help the Google traffic. I'd really appreciate a link to your blog. If you want to trade links, shoot me an email. Definitely open for any sort of trading. I can mention your website if you link to jazzpianoschool.com. But I'm really trying to increase the popularity of jazzpianoschool.com and help it rank better in Google. So if you do that, I appreciate it. Obviously, I continue to appreciate ratings in iTunes. We're at 60 right now. I want to really get to 100. That would make me super, super happy. And I want to, I would definitely celebrate that accomplishment and help from you guys. All right, so until next time, happy practicing.